Get a great day.
Summer is here, and so is the Summer Spectacular at Sheridan Honda. Join us on the second and fourth Friday every month, all summer long. Sign up for drawings like a free oil change or a gas card every week. Prizes change every Friday, so there's always something new. Lunch will be from 11 to 1, so stop by, sign up, grab a bite, and check out our awesome inventory. Sheridan Honda, Sheridan's one-stop shop for all your automotive and power sports needs. Prices change weekly, so make sure you show up and don't miss out.
Ever wonder how HVAC flat rate pricing works? Some companies charge one high fixed price for a repair, whether the job takes 30 minutes or 3 hours. You're paying the same either way. And sometimes warranty parts get overlooked because the flat rate price doesn't change. At Lee Heating and Cooling, we do it differently. We charge time and material. That means you only pay for the actual time on the job. And our service vehicles are GPS tracked, so the time on your invoice matches the time our technician was actually on site. No padded flat rates, no guesses, just honest work and accurate billing. Lee Heating and Cooling, serving Sheridan and the Bighorns.
Ever catch your reflection in your car door and think, did someone write "wash me" on my forehead? Yeah, it's time. Your locally owned Napa Auto Parts has everything to fix that situation, from car wash and detailing supplies to make your ride shine, to oil, filters, and tune-up essentials to keep it running like it should. Even what you need to get that mower fired up without the annual argument. Scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for great deals and savings at Napa Auto Parts. Right parts, right price, right now at Napa.
Wyoming wasn't built overnight. It was built by people who worked hard, stayed true to their values, and thought about the next generation. This is Frank Boley, and we think the same way at Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. We help individuals, families, and businesses build a financial plan designed to last. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, building a legacy that matters. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, May 27th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Floyd.
I believe it was just 11 days ago that you held graduation. How'd that go?
Yeah, it was great, Floyd. It's always a great celebration. We had, you know, lots of families come to town, and we had over 2,100 students get their degrees here.
Wow.
at our commencement ceremony. So that's a lot of people who are, you know, moving forward in their lives, and hopefully will take a lot of good memories and a lot of real useful skills along with them into their careers.
That's fantastic to hear. A good number coming out of there this year. Now, we're going to talk about something that did kind of happened during graduation in just a minute. But first, can you tell us a little bit about the Oilman's Gala? I didn't even know this was a thing. Why was this year really significant?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I didn't know this until we got the release out about this, but it was 100 years ago that the University of Wyoming offered its first petroleum engineering course. It's a real cool story how that all came about, but it's another example where the universities needed to step up, and because an industry was emerging in the state and we needed to prepare workers to work in the oil and gas industry. And of course, we know that that's turned out to be Wyoming's key industry for decades, has improved our quality of life for everybody in Wyoming, whether you work in that area or not. And so it was a celebration of the 100th anniversary of that course being offered. Pretty cool.
And so that was the significance of beginning the petroleum program, was just educators, leadership up there basically saw, hey, this is going to be a thing. We need to get ahead of this.
Well, yeah, actually it was the head of the United States Bureau of Mines wrote a letter to the president of the University of Wyoming. It was President Crane at the time, urging that, saying, hey, you know, we need some help here in getting people trained, and so it's kind of a neat story how that happened. And it was a great celebration. We had political leaders, elected officials there, people from the industry, of course. And we produced a lot of alumni who worked in this field for many years now. And some of them have really gone on to be like really important leaders in oil and gas, like CEOs and executives of big oil and gas companies worldwide, as well as those, working here right here in Wyoming.
Now, when it comes to the petroleum engineering program, 100 years there at the University of Wyoming, I know it's probably changed quite a bit, but were there any significant changes that were really pointed out during any speeches?
Well, I think there was some of that discussion happened. I think it was mostly a good look back on things. But, the industry's changed a lot. Maybe the best example of how technology is really incorporated into the program now is we have a drilling simulator here at UW.
Oh, wow.
Where students get to experience drilling an oil and gas well just in a simulated setting. You're getting that sort of experience is really important. Of course, students get out into the field as well. And tour drilling sites and production sites, but yeah, we got it. That's kind of the best example I could think of right offhand. Is we've got this simulator now that gives students experience right there in the engineering building.
That's pretty incredible. I just got a question about this simulator. Is it a platform?
It's big screens, Floyd, with machinery that's like you would have on at a rig site.
That's
so it's so the visuals you're seeing are simulated, right? But they're right there in front of you in these big screens where you can see what's going on. And they'll simulate potential blowout situations or problems you may encounter. All that sort of stuff is done just kind of like, I guess, maybe a simulation of flying an airplane, right? Same sort of concept here.
I know this is serious science and very serious work, but Chad, I'm not going to lie to you. I think it would just be fun to go in there and kind of play on that machine a little bit. In another lifetime, I was on a platform for a larger company. We were drilling more for scientific purposes as opposed to oil and gas, but it was still a great job. That was way back when we were still throwing tongs on the floor. So I know everything's really changed on those platforms through the years because I hear that most of that's all automated now. But pretty incredible stuff. Just to be able to go in there and just kind of play around, I think, would be a really good time.
Yeah. Come on down, Floyd. We'll get you in there. We get different student groups in there to come in all the time and let them get a look at it. So, yeah, it's not off limits to people by any means.
That'd just be a good time. When we look at the careers that are coming out of this program, I imagine they've probably changed quite a bit as well. As I said, when I was on my platform, we were drilling for geological purposes, not so much for any resources, but kind of testing various things. And so I would imagine that a lot of individuals kind of go into a scientific type of industry as opposed to just oil and gas.
I think there's some of that, Floyd. Sure, it does give you get, of course, we have a whole suite of engineering degrees, petroleum engineering being one of them. Chemical engineering, closely affiliated. Of course, geology, geophysics also. That's actually in a different department, but they all work together, right? And so one of the things that we're really good at here at UW, and there's multiple units working on it, is how you enhance the recovery of oil and gas from, say, unconventional reservoirs.
Mm-hmm.
So the technologies used on that, we have one of the world's best at the what they call flow through porous media. And Dr. Mohammed Piri here at UW, we have other people working on it, like in the area of using carbon dioxide for enhanced oil recovery, for example. We have people, other aspects of that as well. So getting down to the minute details of getting hydrocarbons out of the ground, that's the best example I can think of that's very much closely tied to petroleum engineering.
Absolutely. And there's so much that goes into that, high pressure stuff happening in the ground to get that stuff up, to discover new wells that could be out there. I mean, a lot of different aspects into that engineering. It's come so far over the past 100 years of just drill a hole and pump it out. I mean, there's some real science behind that stuff. Now, I said we'd talk a little bit about something, and I believe this happened at graduation. I'm not totally sure. But first, we have to introduce ourselves to, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, the Tomes?
Tomes, yep, that's right, yeah.
Who are they?
Carol and, so Carol Tome is the CEO of UPS, and before that, she was the CEO of the Home Depot. So a really high-placed executive in the business world. She's an alumna of the University of Wyoming. She actually grew up in Jackson and came here and has gone on. She did get some additional education elsewhere, but very, very one of our most successful alumni at UW. She was our commencement speaker this year. And during her speech, she announced that she and her husband, Ramon, are giving $20 million to the University of Wyoming.
That's an incredible amount.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, holy cow. I mean, so, it's one of the biggest gifts we've ever received, honestly. And there's a difference, of course, between money and then, say, you know, for instance, the Nelchi gift up there in Sheridan County that for her home there that she gave to the bequeathed to the university. And that probably in total dollar value, maybe more than the $20 million gift from the Tomes. But anyway, huge gift for UW. And the cool thing about it, Floyd, this is all going to go to students. So Wow. They have an existing program called the Tomes Scholars Program that's in our Hobbs School of Environment and Natural Resources. They're going to expand that, and then they're going to create a new Tomes Scholars Program in our College of Business. And it sounds like this gift, because, you know, this spins off investment income, and it's probably going to fund about 100 full-ride scholarships to the university for students. And this is, you know, when I say full-ride, we're talking tuition fees, room and board, everything, books, all that stuff. So really exciting thing to see, and we're really grateful to the Tomes.
That's an incredible amount of money, and to see 100 students go through there. Now, I would imagine that these students, excuse me, would be focused on business and business management type of education.
Yeah, on the new business program is definitely that. Yes. Now, the existing Tomes Scholar Program is primarily for students interested in environmental topics, so at conservation things. And wildlife and land management and rangeland management and all those things that, because in our state, the land and its critters and plants are a huge, you know, they're an important part of our lifestyle, important part of our economy, and so the Tomes Scholars Program is focused on those sorts of issues, environmental stewardship and connection, you know, people's connection to the land, and now this new one is, you know, business, and so you know that, as it's pointed out, there's a real strong connection between environmental stewardship and business leadership, and so that is going to just be a good expansion of what they've built already here,
and a large expansion. That's pretty incredible, and I would love to see a lot of students here within the Cowboy State get through high school. Maybe they've got a business acumen. Maybe rangeland management is something that I know a lot of students up here are interested in. I would love to see a lot of kids pick up on those scholarships and get through that program and then just come right back to the house and start doing their business and range management right here in our area. Take care of their own backyard. I think that'd be fantastic. Now, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, but we're going to talk about some of those critters and some studies that have been done on how we can help them as we expand out in the Cowboy State. More with the University of Wyoming in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
The Sheridan's Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items. And every Thursday, June 18th through September 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. If you'd like a booth for this year's market, contact Nancy Drummond today at 307-751-3863. The Sheridan Farmers Market, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media.
Hello, I'm Kurt Lehrer with Midas. You ever turn down the radio just to listen to your car? Was that a squeak or a grind, or did something just fall off? Yep, probably time for Midas. Right now, save up to $80 on tires and get a free oil change when you buy four tires. That's real savings on something your car actually needs, whether it's brakes, suspension, warning lights, or even just routine maintenance. Midas has you covered. Stop by Midas on East Brundage Lane today before your car starts talking back. Midas Tire and Auto on East Brundage Lane in Sheridan.
Okay, Saturdays in Sheridan just got more useful. Synergy Shop and Minion's open house is every Saturday from 11 to 2 with serious shop space for your RV, boat, trailer, and business. Big doors and high ceilings for lifts or storage. Come walk through, take a look, and see what you can do with it. Donna Garland with Sheridan Realty Associates built and designed these units, and she'll be on site to open every door and answer every question. Synergy Shop and Minion's on East Rich Roads just past Coca-Cola.
Hey folks, this is Chris Hayden here at Sheridan Motors, your locally owned hometown dealership. We've got a lot of excitement happening right now, and I'd love for you to come see it for yourself. From our full lineup of vehicles to our state-of-the-art full-service facility, we're here to make your experience easy, convenient, and even a little fun. Take advantage of our pickup and delivery service so you don't even have to leave home or work. And every time you bring your vehicle in for maintenance or repairs, you'll drive away with a free car wash. That's just how we do things here at Sheridan Motors, where great service, friendly faces are always waiting. Sheridan Motors, proud to serve our community.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. We're sitting with the University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. The development of housing in Wyoming is expanding, and new research from the University of Wyoming shows how much space between these dwellings keeps big game migrations moving. Chad, what was discovered in this study?
So Floyd, they looked at multiple species, first of all, of animals, you know, deer, pronghorn, elk, moose, and there was some variation across all these things. But so, for example, some big game avoid habitats between houses that are like a mile or two apart. Others are still willing to move through spaces as narrow as maybe even a quarter to a half mile between houses. So there's some variation you see in this. And but you know they have this research by our researchers at UW, and it was a collaborative thing with Game and Fish and the Park Service and Fish and Wildlife Service and so on. And it provides some empirical data for people to consider as they're thinking about developing housing developments. And actually, they've developed an online tool where you can input your housing configurations and immediately figure out how that might influence big game in that area. So, you know, Floyd, as is the case with a lot of things at UW, where there's a need for information, it's our job to try to provide that information, whether it's in the energy industry. A good example is what we've been doing with nuclear energy and some of the stuff that's happened there on this. And this isn't like advocating for anything in particular. It's just giving people useful information as they consider developing housing developments in Wyoming. And Floyd, we all know, I mean, I think you and I, just about everybody would agree, we are some growth in our population in Wyoming, probably a good thing for the future of our economy, so our kids and grandkids continue to live here. At the same time, we really prize our wildlife in Wyoming. It's really important to us. And so this is one of those issues of finding the best way forward, and now the university has provided a tool to help us find the best way forward.
And it's pretty fascinating. Do we know who kind of spurred this study? Who was the individual who kind of stood up in the meeting and said, you know what, let's take a look at this and see if we're building these developments in migration areas, which, my goodness, we've got a lot of them around here. What will that look like for various species as we go forward? Who's kind of the spearhead on this?
Well, so we have a research group here led by Professor Jared Merkel is his name. And by the way, we have a whole, I could give you multiple names, probably a dozen different names of faculty members here who are doing really important work when it comes to wildlife. But Dr. Merkel and his team specifically, and you know, this is happening actually more, say, as you talk about Montana, Idaho, where there have maybe more some problems there. We're looking at what's happened in other states, saying, oh, you know, this is kind of happening, starting to happen in Wyoming too, and there's a need for, you know, there's a need for information. There's just an information gap, something we ought to try to help to fill. And what where they did most of their research was actually in the Cody and Jackson areas, where there's been some fairly significant housing development in you know, more rural areas, and so that's kind of how it came about. And then you have these partners, right? We don't just generally go off and do our own thing. There's other agencies involved. We're a great partner with the Game and Fish Department here in Wyoming, and so that's kind of how it came about.
Did they list any challenges that they found big game animals are facing on these migration routes?
Well, there is some habitat loss when you build a home in an area. And so, you know, that's a challenge. It's like you're trying to maintain the same number of animals with maybe a little bit less place for them to find food and move around, you know. And so there is a challenge, but it's like there's ways to do things that can try to minimize impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what this kind of is about is, you know, I mean, I just down for a wedding in Utah, Floyd, last weekend, and holy cow, there was houses everywhere up in those hills.
Oh yeah,
and it's like, my goodness, you know, and some great mule deer habitat in particular. To look at that, I'm just thinking, you know, I there's got to be some good middle ground between what you see there and no development at all, right? And
yeah.
So this is we can do things right in Wyoming, Floyd. We can, and the university plays a big part in trying to help that. Again, not in mandating anything, not in being prescriptive on things. Just saying, here's some information that could be useful for you as you work on these.
Absolutely agree with you on that one. We have to either grow or fade away, and so growing. As necessary as it is, I think we need all the information that we can possibly get as we decide where that growth will be, because we do depend on these big game animals. Some people literally, you know, that is a food source for a majority of families.
Absolutely.
Here in the state of Wyoming.
Yes, indeed.
It's our lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, it's the hunting tradition is a huge part of our mm-hmm. culture in Wyoming, Floyd. And there's a stewardship aspect to that, right?
I mean,
we want to preserve these herds, not only so we can harvest some of them to fill our freezers, but also we love seeing these beautiful animals mm-hmm. too, and that's a big piece of our tourism industry, of course, which is the number two industry in the state. And you know, of course, our number three industry, which is a huge part of it all, is agriculture, which these private ranch lands have maintained these animals herds for us for over a century in Wyoming, and so it all kind of all ties together, you know, and ties together with, of course, the energy development too, and doing that right to try to minimize impact. So it's all of this stuff ties together.
Absolutely. And one aspect that you guys down there at the university are really looking into now can help with that. And we've spoken a lot about virtual fencing on this program. The Sheridan Community Land Trust has even spearheaded trials with local ranchers to great success within our area. Now, for those who may not remember what it is, Chad, can you remind us what virtual fencing is and just how this works?
Yeah, Floyd, and you tell me where I mess up here, because you probably know more than I do. because you know, you use these GPS collars that you put on cattle, and you have software-defined boundaries to contain and direct the livestock without the need of fences, physical fences. That's the best description you can have. And again, I'll just reiterate here, this isn't about mandating anything. This is about for those producers who it might be helpful for their operations. It's about providing information on how they could use it. And so this, there are researchers who looked at this, again, with some collaborators, figuring out that taking a look at, you know, basically, this could be a real game changer for livestock production in the West. You can exclude animals from sensitive areas during critical periods and move herds with precision that traditional fencing makes difficult or impossible. And as you know, I mean, there are people in Wyoming, producers in Wyoming, kind of experimenting with this, or it's even becoming an important part of their management approach at some places. So we have some expertise here at UW, and they provided that information to people.
I think it's pretty remarkable. Now, yes, it's a little more advanced than barbed wire, but kind of embracing modern technologies, we move forward in ranching, I think is important. Virtual fencing is not going to work in every environment. That's just the way the technology works right now. But for those individuals who can find this technology useful, I think it's going to be incredible. And as you said, this is really going to help the ranchers and migrating animals. Imagine a field without fences, but the cattle are directed where to go by simple vibrating collars that are done right from a rancher's phone. It's absolutely fascinating, and I hope it really develops going forward. And I'm ecstatic to hear that the University of Wyoming's jumping on board, and probably, you know, in certain aspects, is pretty far ahead in certain things. And so the combination of that information, studies, the use of the scientific method, again, really going to pay off for ranchers in the big picture. Chad, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's always fascinating talking to you about the fantastic things happening down there at the University of Wyoming. I really look forward to some of our students up here putting in for some of these fellowships and scholarships going forward. Very generous gifts from some amazing people and some great studies happening down there, my friend.
Yep, I sure appreciate the chance to talk to you, Floyd, every month. Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan County Library System. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
UCross Foundation invites you to celebrate the 5th annual UCross Founders Day, Saturday, May 30th from 11 to 2. Visitors will enjoy open studio tours from all 10 of the current artists in residence, house-made pizza for purchase, and the unveiling of the newest exhibition at the UCross Art Gallery, In Company. This family-friendly event is free and open to the public. RSVP today by visiting ucross.org. UCross Founders Day, Saturday, May 30th.
Mandy Kolchiska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. If you're looking for a loyal partner who appreciates a leader and a good spot on your couch, meet 3-year-old Wesley. This Australian cattle dog mix is packed and ready to go with you. 3-year-old Lilac has beautiful green eyes and is the sweetest kitty you'll ever meet. This petite feline will fit neatly into your adult-only household.
Looking for heirloom quality furniture that reflects your personal style? Discover Mayo Furniture exclusively at Carol's Furniture in the heart of downtown Sheridan.
Each Mayo piece is handcrafted in Texas with solid hardwood frames and hundreds of rich fabrics and leathers to choose from. Customize every detail. With Mayo, your furniture will be as unique as your home.
Visit Carol's Furniture today at 340 North Main Street and online at carolsfurniture.com, where lasting quality and personalized service are always in style.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we're joined by Sheridan County Library System Director, Amy Long. Good morning, my friend. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for having us. We're so happy to be here.
Now, things at the library is going to get pretty busy. It's a program that I absolutely love, one that we talk about every year. I look forward to summer. Tell us about the summer reading program and when it will begin.
Absolutely. Well, our summer reading program is going to kick off excitingly on Monday, June 15th.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's right around the corner.
That's right.
June 15th. That's...
And it goes through Friday, July 31st.
Now, anything new for the year?
Yes. Well, the theme this year is Unearth a Story, and it's all around dragons and dinosaurs. Dragons and dinosaurs are tight like this in my household, so dinosaur themed. So you're going to see little tiny dinosaurs everywhere around the library. Yes, very exciting.
The year of the thunder lizard, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's fantastic.
I know.
I was talking... with Science Kids just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I said, there's one word you got to say to get a bunch of little kids interested in science.
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
I love that age where little ones are just fascinated
mm-hmm.
with it. And I think every family out there has at least
one dinosaur aficionado.
Yes.
Who's looking for books and wants mm-hmm. to go to the museums just to see the big fossils.
So. Yes, my son. Still, even at 10, still.
And we're so lucky. I mean, Thermopolis, right over the hill. We've got the Natural History Museum mm-hmm. right here in our own backyard. Mm-hmm. You can go down there with your little one, show them around those dinosaur, exhibits, and just watch the fascination grow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, dinosaur themed at the library.
Yes.
So we're going for dinosaur books, mostly.
Well, I mean, dinosaur everything. So dinosaur decor, hopefully. And we're going to have little tiny dinosaurs that every time they read a book, we're trying to count how many books get read this summer by adults, tweens, teens, and little kids. And so every time they read a book, they get a little dinosaur they get to put in a jar. And then at the end of the year, we're going to take photos so that you can visually see how many books are read by the community, because we're really fascinated to get a visual image to capture that. And so we're excited to try that this year and have the community get to see how big of an impact summer reading makes over the summer and how many books we're reading as a community together. And you might ask yourself, well, what counts as reading? Guess what? Everything counts as reading. So you might think, well, what about ebooks? Yes. What about audiobooks? Yes. What about comic books? Sure. What about graphic novels? Absolutely.
Yes.
What about when I read to my toddler or my baby? Yes. Count those, even if it's the same book over and over and over again. Yes.
They
every time you
favorites.
Read it, count
they
that.
Have their favorites.
What about when my kid reads to me? What if they don't get all the words right? Still count it. What about physical books? Please count those. What about Wonder Books? Yes.
What's a Wonder Book?
Oh, you don't know what Wonder Books are? Wonder Books are wonderful. They are books that have a pre-recorded audio book inside of it, and it dings every time the kids should turn the page. And at the end, it even has pre-recorded thought questions for the kid to listen to that say things like, what did the character do about the problem? Or what did little Johnny do when Sally did X? And it has like almost discussion questions that you might get in a book club. But for little picture books, for little kids, it's kind of like when I was a kid in the 80s, they had a cassette tape that you put in the cassette. So that way my mom could clean the house while I listened to the book that I did on repeat 17 times about Mike and his bike. But they're a really great literacy tool for kids.
I had little tiny records.
Yeah.
In kind of sleeves too, yes. In the mm-hmm. back. I can, you know what's weird, Amy? I can still, I think about those records, I think about those little books, and I can still smell them.
Yeah.
They had a very specific smell, and I don't know if it was the paper that they were printed on or what it was.
Yeah.
But I had a little shelf in my bedroom, and
me
when
too.
I'd sit in front of it, that smell would hit me. And
yeah.
I'd be reading my book and listening mm-hmm. to my record on my little record player.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I love those because kids can follow along.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's learning to read.
It is. It's a big literacy tool. And everything old is new again, right? And so they keep finding ways to recreate the same literacy tools every generation. And it's just a new way of doing the same thing we did when we were kids. And so, yeah, audiobooks, but also those read-alongs. They also have them for fiction, juvenile fiction. They also have them for adult fiction.
Wow.
And so even for adults who are maybe wanting to listen to a reader, mm-hmm. but they also want to kind of read along, they have those as well. So, yeah, there's all kinds of Wonder Books available at the library now. But also online content. So like if you're doing the Tumble Books or something like that, that's an online e-version of a picture book that is being read by the computer. So any literacy version of things counts. So reading comes in lots of forms, but also if your little one, say your 8-year-old is reading a book to you, that counts. But if you're reading a book to them, that also counts. So
which I think is
count
great.
All of the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read to my daughter, I think probably up until she was about 4 when mm-hmm. she really started kind of picking it up herself.
Yeah.
And then we kind of switched because I would, I would read like Lord of the Rings.
And then she started reading that to you.
That would be, it would be amazing.
That would.
We switched it up. She had little books and maybe this is a wonder book and I just didn't realize it. They've got little push button things on the side.
Yeah.
That makes the sound effects or, and you know, it might say, and she opened the door, and then she can push the little door and the sound of the door opening.
That was an early version of how they evolved to it. Yeah.
I think it's fantastic that they've gotten to the point where read along with me kind of deal.
Yeah.
I think that is great. Yeah. Now, all of that counts towards our summer reading program.
Yes.
And that was actually one of the questions I had later was about the adults. There is an adult summer reading program.
And this year you get to choose. Everything is about choice. So the kids reading program, everything that we do at the library is reading for fun. And so we've combined crafting into our reading program events as well as our summer reading program. So for the kids, you read 20 minutes, you get to color in a little thing in your log, and each week you get to come in, and based on your progress in your log, you get a prize, right? So that's all very simple. That's all still how it works. And then we have events throughout the summer. And then as you get into tween, so that 11 to 12, you get to decide if you want to do the teen program or you can do the kids program. And as you get into teen and adult, you can choose between Book Bingo, which has been a staple, or you can choose a new program, which is the reading challenge, a progressive timed reading challenge. Or there's also an accessible reading challenge. So different kinds of reading challenges that you can do. And so there's a couple different options. So for Book Bingo, we're doing it a little different. One bingo card, one per patron. One prize per patron per week. And when you return your completed card at the end, you can get a raffle ticket for the big prize at the end of the summer. So prizes get progressively better for the kids.
Are we saying what the big prize is yet?
Mm-hmm. For the Book Bingo, yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
Big baskets full of fun.
Ooh, like gift baskets. That's fantastic.
Yeah, full of all kinds of bookworm, big, awesome things for big readers. Yeah.
How long does it take you ladies and guys, because you get guys in there too, sit around and kind of develop these really fun programs?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see. Cassie and Zola are our magic makers. They start on August 1st. So, so from August 1st to about, I would say, May 1st, they are brainstorming. And I would say even up until May 1st, they're still adding sweet little deals to make sure that it's the best it can be, because they are amazing.
Is that, someone might think, you know, librarians stand around with the dusty old tomes, putting them back. Oh, what a boring job. But that is not the case. And that is one thing that I have learned by having you ladies on here as frequently as I mean, the library is a fun place to be.
Well, it's a busy, bustling place, and there's so many different jobs. And the thing about the library staff who work there is I always call it finding your lane in libraries, is that everyone finds their zone where they can just thrive. You know, their highway zone, where they're like always, they're doing the thing they love. And for some people, it's that data entry, that cataloging books. That's like where they thrive, is I make sure that those cataloging records are perfect, or I make sure that I put together the best summer reading program. And when I'm doing that, I'm just so happy I lose track of time, and I work on it all year, and I put together something that for that 6-week program, people are loving it. And we get more and more people each summer, and everyone has a grand time. And I learn so much about how the community enjoys different aspects of it. And that's where Cassie and Zola shine. And then I have this tech services department where ordering books and cataloging books and getting the perfect combination of books in the community that skyrockets our circulation, that's their zone, you know. But I will say that the staff at the library, they're magic. You know, we get the perfect people on the desk who love interacting with folks and getting them the perfect read or helping them with their account or helping them find the ILL that they need that might be in. I mean, the funnest stuff is when we get stuff outside of the U.S. But when they find something from the Library of Congress or something, it's like the best day. So, yeah, it's working at the library is hard work, but it is fun work when you get the person who just loves being there.
You guys have beaten records, I think, for 2 years, maybe even 3 years in a row now, mm-hmm. when it comes to that summer reading program.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a little bit of pressure now where you're like, okay, you know, we have been so successful over the past couple of years, boy, we got to nail it again this year.
I don't know if it's pressure. It's more like, hey, excitement. Are there more people we can serve? Are there more people we can reach? Are there people out there looking for more ways to engage with the community in their library? Are there more people we can connect with? If there's ever a time when it sort of is steady and it reaches that plateau, it's like, okay, have we hit the mark where we're serving the amount of people we can serve? Great. That's awesome. And then we know we've reached that amount of people, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But when it's growing, we know there's more people to reach, and that's okay too.
And as someone whose whole life is kind of about the library,
mm-hmm.
and about books, how do these numbers make you guys feel? You know, seeing more and more kids and adults coming in,
mm-hmm.
and you know what, the hardest ones to reach, and this is an assumption mm-hmm. on my part, but the hardest one to reach, especially in today's day and age, teens. Seeing those teens come through there and pick up a physical book
mm-hmm.
with excitement and anticipation for adventure or knowledge. How does that make you feel seeing those numbers go up every year?
I remember when we had I think we talked about it when the performance artist was in doing silence at the library. It was such a fascinating kind of social experiment. And when I walked out of my office and I saw three or four teens kind of watching, which with a performance artist, even the audience becomes part of the performance artist piece, right? And there were three or four teens, a couple were sketching the artist and a couple were just watching what was going on. But to see them engage with that piece and just seeing teens be part of what's happening at the library for me is always exciting, because I like to see teens find their place in the library, whatever it is they're doing, whether it's in the teen zone, playing the computers or just hanging out. I like to see that because I feel like they found their space in the community somewhere and they're connecting with each other and they're in a safe space. And I like to see that because there aren't always safe spaces for teens and there aren't always places they feel comfortable. So for me, it's always kind of that, ooh, teens.
Yay. Yeah.
I get very excited because it's hard to get them engaged.
I think that's the mom in you, my friend, where it's like, you know what? You found your safe zone.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be open for you.
Well, and I was that teen that spent a lot of time in my school library because that was my safe space. That was my shelter from the storm. So I like to see teens who find that in us. And so I like creating that space for teens and I like seeing them there. I like providing that space. So I think for me, it's also like my people. I never do that to them. It's just in my head because that would be weird. But those are inside thoughts. But yeah, it's always nice to me to see anyone in the library who I feel like they're here enjoying the space that we've created for whatever purpose they're there for, whether it's books or just the space or a service that we're providing, a crafting program, the summer reading program, whatever it may be. It's the reason we're there. And to see anyone enjoying a thing that you believe in and that you love and that you're part of and that they're enjoying it and becoming a part of that too is just wonderful.
Now, I'm running out of time with you already.
Mm-hmm.
I got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Quick update on those fantastic renovations.
Yes. So we have a little bit of a closure right now of the parking lot off of Alger Street. That Alger entrance to the parking lot is shut down just for, I think, one more day today, possibly tomorrow, while they bring in some materials, because we've done out with the old in the children's area. and the Children's Theater. And now we're bringing in the new equipment or the new materials. And so we need that space for the trailers while they bring in some new stuff. And then they'll be installing that. And we're hoping to get everything in place and installed in the next 3 weeks so that hopefully by the beginning of summer reading or close to that, we get a lot of that new material installed into the children's area. We'd love to get it open in the next 3 to 4 weeks if we can. So that's what we're shooting for. And I should have more information about Zone 2 and Zone 3 and their closures and openings shortly. But we are hoping to have one section of the library open at any given point and circulating materials, at least in part, at any given point for patrons. So we'll just have information out on our website and Facebook as much as we can. Sometimes not as in advance as I'd like, but as much as we can, information on Facebook and our webpage about what is open where and what doors to use as best we can. For now, handicap parking is over by the outside book drop, so please use that.
All right, Amy, thank you so much, and thank you for letting people know, hey, the information that you have on the changes and the renovations that are taking place is easily accessible on the website. Just mm-hmm. jump on there. If you're wondering what's going on at the library, you can look there. I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning, my friend. It's always great to see you.
Great to be here. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
The Chinese communists have been stealing American jobs for decades, and Chuck Gray helped them do it, rolling out the red carpet for Chinese businesses in Wyoming. As Secretary of State, China Chuck Gray issued 56 business licenses to Chinese-owned companies. That's 56 footholds in Wyoming for America's toughest enemy. What the heck, China Chuck? But hold the egg rolls, there's more. As Secretary of State, China Chuck Gray told President Trump to pound sand. Chuck Gray issued licenses for windmills in Wyoming, littering our land with Green New Deal eyesores. That's more AOC than GOP. China Chuck Gray. Crack open the fortune cookie, and it reads Rhino. Want an America first conservative in Congress? Reed Raisner has President Trump's back and yours. Beat China. Tear down the windmills. Fight for Trump's agenda. Reed Raisner, Wyoming tough, MAGA strong.
I'm Reed Raisner, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Reed Raisner for Wyoming.
Hey, Sarah, what's going on at Sheridan Honda these days?
Great things. Spring has sprung, and we're more excited than ever to find new ways to wow our customers.
What do you mean?
We want to be known as the local dealership that goes above and beyond for the people who do business with us. Our team is constantly looking for ways to show our customers we care. From now until the end of June, random service customers will receive a complimentary interior detail on their car or truck.
Wow!
Now you're getting it. Come see us at Sheridan Honda and Power Sports. We service all makes and models all day, every day. No appointment needed. Give us a chance to make your day.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Real people, real moments, amazing Americans. Saturdays at 7 on News Talk 930 KROE.